Hey, renovators, welcome back to the Renovating You
and Me podcast, where we do real talk for the healed life.
Today, we are continuing our emotional house series.
Ooh.
I know, right? We love it. However, instead of staying up top, we are going to go down under.
Ooh. Australia?
It'd be nice. No, but we're going to visit a foundation instead.
Oh, foundations. Okay, so for those of you not schooled in the way of house building and such things, underneath houses, you don't just kind of plop it down anywhere. There is this thing underneath houses called a foundation. So what is a foundation, oh, real estate agents? What is a foundation exactly?
Well, I think most people understand the concepts of foundation, but there's also crawl spaces, there's also slabs, but we're talking about the emotional foundation. So basically what is underneath the surface.
Mm.
And for purposes of building processes and materials that they use, foundations are usually a poured concrete foundation or cinder blocks.
Okay.
You'll be hearing us a lot in this refer to the blocks because that's kind of what we go off of when we're doing our analogy between actually the building process and the building of our emotional house. So while houses can be built on many different types of soil, because, you know, it can be a sandy, depending on where you're living, where we live in Northwest Indiana, there's a lot of clay.
Oh my gosh, so much clay.
Probably even like in some waterway areas where people are close to the coast, maybe even really close to water.
Yeah.
Or if there's been hurricanes in certain areas, they may even be built on stilts where it's upraised from the water. I've also seen that as well, even in our area. When it got too close to water, they just raised it, almost anticipating that could be happening.
Or like one of those weird houses from like mystery novels where it's like built like right next to a cliff face and you're just like,
that as well too, built on rock. Trying to figure all that out, how they actually went in there and did all of that.
It's crazy.
So if a foundation is built incorrectly, right, a lot of things can happen.
A lot of things. The house could actually like sink into the ground.
It could
collapse.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of different things. It could start to sag in different areas. Mm-hmm. Cracks appear on the sides of the house. Whole lot of different things can happen to it. For this reason, it is incredibly important in laying a foundation for a house if we're concerned at all about the future and longevity of it. If this is not done well, bad times ahead.
Exactly. And you know what? That is the same as it is with our emotional house. The foundation is the first thing that really is constructed. And it is important to the point of it really sets the tone. It sets the structure for how the house is built. So as we are talking about the physical structure, it's kind of interesting that our words, our thoughts, our mindset, right, also takes up mental real estate.
Because again, we're relating all of this to how we as people function. So the same way that a foundation supports a house, foundation inside of us is what supports us. We're not entirely talking about how the actual brain structure is put together. We might save that for a later podcast. I think we've talked about like the dendrites, the axons.
I think we can just insert just a little bit right now before you continue. One is the brain is the actual physical structure that holds all the synapses, all the different colors. If you did an MRI, that would show up in the brain. The mind is part of the soul, the mind, will, and emotions. And that really is lived out through the heart. That's where the soul is located.
Okay.
As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we're talking about the mind. That's where we go with that.
Okay. Who we are as a person is built upon several different key components, including, but not exclusively, tied down to being comprised of our experiences with those that we are in relationship, our past traumas, and I guess a good word would be glories. The good things that have happened in our past and the bad things that have happened. And often the story that we tell ourselves about those events. And this can take a lot of different forms. What kind of forms can those take?
Well, words, right? Mm-hmm. The words we speak or the words that were spoken over us, it can take on that manifestation. Okay. We begin living that out where the foundation has some of those in it. What would you call the key features of your life? So what may be in your foundation?
It's such a weird thing to think of. How would somebody describe you? Writing a biography for yourself is a hard thing to do, maybe. What would you say, Mom? What would you say?
About you?
No, about you.
Oh, about me. I would say that I'm a very caring, so there'd be a caring brick for
sure.
Okay,
okay.
Which, that is also you. The ability to, I think, to never give up. There's that warrior spirit in me, that no matter how many things, and there's been a lot of things that have come against me in my 60 plus years, but I've just kept going. I also think the ability to love deeply is also something that is inside of me. And even with that, I think family is also very important. Mm-hmm. Very important to me. That's also important to you.
Yeah.
You are always up for family. And I think too, if I'm going into some of the other parts of me, I battle very much fear. Fear is definitely a brick that is in my foundation. Doubt sometimes can be as well. Mm-hmm. I doubt my abilities. And in fact, this morning I was listening to my mama on TV, who really isn't my mama, but Mama Joyce. I heard her say that her dad told her she would never amount to anything. And I immediately just sat there, because that is my story, only it was my mom that had spoken that over me, of you'll never amount to anything. And so much of mine has been the self-talk and what was deposited in me of kind of battling that. So that kind of goes into defining moments of your life that you believe, you know, shaped how you grew up, you know, what you grew up to be, how you view yourself.
I definitely know that reading as much as I have growing up definitely influenced me in the way of loving English, going to college for that, being a teacher. Baking has also been a big thing, a lot of defining things with that in my life. I'm actually right now gearing up to bake two different family birthday cakes coming up here soon. My first time making one with a whipped cream frosting on it, which not as big of a thing. And the other, my first time making an ice cream cake, which is going to be an adventure.
Yeah. So even in that, you're very adventurous. That would also be a brick. You love the outdoors, but also you're always willing to try something. You've had me try a lot of things and grown me as your mom to see, let's try this. So if you're looking at it, and things may sound positive, right? You may gravitate towards discussing these types of ideas. It's generally safe, like we've talked about some of these, right? Or at least very familiar territory. However, the not so great parts sometimes are really hard to discuss, really hard to be vulnerable, let people in. And we've kind of already talked about this, but if someone were to dig you up as the listener emotionally,
like kind of like excavate, like an archaeologist, go underneath the house and say, what's actually down in here? What do we actually see? Would we want anybody to actually see what was down in there? Or would we rather that, you know, we kind of keep that under wraps?
I think most of us have the tendency to want to hide that part of ourselves.
Or they can look at the nice area that I know is going to be fine. Don't go over in the dark and dank area there. Don't go over there. That area is fine. I know it doesn't look all that fine, but just it's fine. Just leave it alone.
Yeah, sometimes we want to ignore those, right? And those can create cracks in our foundation where we can say, you know what? I'm inherently broken, or at the very least, parts of me aren't looking great. These don't have to be major traumas. In fact, that sometimes they can even be what we refer to as little T's or little traumas. And over time, little T traumas can turn to just as big, if not bigger, than a major trauma or crack, if you will. And that's important to remember, because a lot of times we will ignore cracks, and cracks continue to grow.
Especially if they are small. But the way that we always kind of picture it, if it's really hard to kind of take micro traumas or these small things seriously. but we always put it as if somebody took your hand and they did a gigantic like sword slice across it and you're bleeding all over the place. Oh my gosh, that's horrific. Mm-hmm. But if someone covered your hand in 1,000 paper cuts, mm-hmm. how much pain would you be in?
Yes. How much pain would you be in? And also, how would it
affect your daily life?
Yeah. Hinder you mm-hmm. from operating and being fully functional? I would say a lot. We've got a couple different examples here.
So maybe growing up, the arguments between your parents would lead to one of your parents saying that they were going to pack up their suitcases and leave. Maybe this was like a common thing. Mm-hmm. Or there was like a lot of drama of the throwing the person out or saying, you know, if you don't like it here, just go. Maybe I will. Maybe I will. You won't do it. And the things of that. So mm-hmm. maybe they never actually went through it. Mom and dad stayed together, but the threat of it mm-hmm. was in the background. This thing of like, my whole world could collapse.
Yeah, it's at risk. It doesn't feel safe.
No.
Another example, maybe your parents never told you that they didn't like you, but it was very clear that maybe that you weren't the favorite. Mm. So nothing where like in the first example was very overt and you're hearing your parents argue and yeah. you're really thinking, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? But at the same time, it happens over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. This second example is more like an inferred. You're mm-hmm. like, you're like making your own assumption by what is going on, even though yeah. they've never told you, right? And that can cause a crack in our thinking. Mm-hmm. Another form of trauma
or to foundational, a foundation. Yeah, foundational right? damage.
Foundational damage are defects. So I believe that when you get right down to it, something is inherently wrong with me.
Or at least that's what a lot of us feel.
That's what a lot of us feel. And if this wasn't the case, why do I always seem to feel down no matter what I try and do? Many of us have an inborn sense of what we call feeling, quote unquote, less than.
So it's clear, you know, if, for example, all your brothers are 6 feet tall mm-hmm. and you are 5'3", you're going to struggle shooting hoops with them in your backyard. Mm-hmm. There's a very clear thing like that, a physical thing. Sometimes you could also have this thing of in your head of like, you know what, even if somehow magically overnight I grew a whole foot, mm-hmm. I still wouldn't measure up to them though.
Yeah, and I
even
think
if
also,
this gap was filled, it can be a thing of, you know, there's still just something wrong with me.
Or someone is going to tell you that at 6'4", I'm sure you're into sports and you play basketball. What position do you play? Mm-hmm. I'm in band. Mm-hmm. I've never played sports. So there also was that, like, because you have the structure, this is what really should be happening. What's wrong with you? Why didn't you take advantage of that? Mm-hmm. Why are you wasting your time in band? You could be, you know, getting a scholarship, you know, mm-hmm. but maybe you just aren't good at it. Or maybe you just don't care about it.
Yeah.
But everybody else does. So it begins affecting, mm-hmm. oh, did I make a mistake playing band? I guess band, you know, diminished band, mm-hmm. which means diminish ourselves, right?
You're not like the rest of the family. You don't fit in that way there. There's this thing of like, you're the black sheep of the family mm-hmm. or a lot of things like that. So any parts of us, when we feel on the inside, like, I'm just defective. Another place, sometimes it's worse than the crack. It's worse than a defect. I just feel like part of me is missing. Mm-hmm. So if you can imagine in like a foundation, it's like there's a section where they mm-hmm. just never laid down the cinder blocks. A job that was supposed to be done by somebody else was not done. Mm-hmm. So I never got the teaching or experience that I was supposed to get. No one ever taught me what I was supposed to be like. Maybe we're never initiated properly as children or young mm-hmm. adults. We never were able to like do the quote-unquote normal things that we were meant to do. We didn't get to experience play. We had to suddenly become incredibly responsible. Mm-hmm. Or expectations were put on us that we had no possible way of fulfilling. Anything like that where we feel unprepared.
Yeah, unprepared, and we're not really going to flourish mm-mm. in that, because what we're needing to fall back on is not there.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, one of the things that has been missing in my life, a lot of it has been trust, being just to trust someone naturally versus surveying the land, what's going to happen. And that started way early in my childhood. The trust muscle is built by 18 months. So mm-hmm. even if you're not talking, you're not really understanding what's going on. The vibe in the house tells you things are not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're sent out into the world with the feelings of things are not okay.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a brick.
Yeah.
Things are not okay. And because things are not okay, I am not okay.
There can also be things of if a parent is missing from the home,
mm-hmm.
that can often create this feeling of there's just something missing.
Mm-hmm. What would you say is like one thing that you would say with your dad not living with you?
Oh, something with my dad not living with me.
That you would say has left you feeling like I'm missing something.
I think sometimes it was the thing of not really having a place to ask the male questions.
Mm-hmm.
Like just like the simple things of, I remember learning how to shave was something that I had to basically make an appointment with a relative to have somebody show me kind of how to shave.
Yeah.
It wasn't like this thing of the thing that you like picture of the dad says to his son one day, hey, you're starting to look a little bit scruffy there. Let me show you how to clean up and yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
It was this thing of, and certainly I wasn't going to ask my mom how to shave.
Correct.
She knows how to shave other parts. Legs. That's not what I was going for. I was looking mostly at the face there. So,
yes.
But it is this thing of something inherently is missing.
Mm-hmm.
And
you feel ill prepared, right?
Yeah,
so you're awkward. You've got to reach out to a relative and say, uh-huh. hey, can you, which should have been a very natural
mm-hmm.
segue in life, in puberty and moving into high school and all that, mm-hmm. is now
awkward and weird.
Do I ask to try and figure it out on my own? Do mm-hmm. I just let it grow? What do I do?
Do I look up a YouTube video on how to do that? And again, it's a thing of like,
yeah.
I remember that was not like tying ties was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I remember like a salesperson in a Target had to show me how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah.
things like that. So when we have these feelings, it can actually start to look like shame inside of us. This feeling of, you know, instead of just feeling bad about maybe what we've done, what wasn't done, we ourselves start to actually feel like we're bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we start to feel inept,
uh-huh.
even though we are wanting to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
We feel inept. And even like you didn't say to yourself, well, of course. Now, an adult would say, well, of course. If you were looking back and telling yourself that at this age, you would say, of course you don't know how.
Yeah.
Your dad's not here. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing even missing in you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you simply weren't shown how to do that.
Yeah.
But when those pieces are missing and we don't know how to talk about it, there's no one stepping into that without you having to ask,
mm-hmm.
right? And say, hey, I could use some help here. Going through the all awkwardness, we feel like something is missing in us.
Yeah.
When reality, something was missing in our upbringing, in our mm-hmm. story. And now we've turned it around and said something's missing in us.
Mm-hmm.
If we're thinking about this, you're talking about traumas, you know, your dad, you know, me with my trust level and all of that. And I just want to talk briefly that kind of like what we're talking about is arrested in development.
Or at least like something. Nowadays, we call it fixation.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've talked about this in a lot of other podcasts, but a very brief definition of this is that we ourselves get older chronologically,
mm-hmm.
but a wounding has happened to us, a trauma of some kind, before the age of puberty happens, and our emotional growth ends up halted or stunted,
mm-hmm.
leaving us stuck.
Yeah,
leaving us. We fixate on an area literally in our minds, and it can be like, do not pass go, do not collect $200. Mm-hmm. And some of us are fantastic in other areas, like people who are like amazing business people can sell sawdust to a lumber mill. The whole thing. Just don't ask them to play with their kids.
Yeah, don't ask them to sit down at night and just play a game.
Yes.
All of a sudden, they're like, awkward. I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And more than likely, in some of those situations, that might even be somebody who grew up in a very performance-driven mm-hmm. home. There was no time for play.
Nope.
Right? If you have a hard time sitting and playing with kids, you're more than likely have a traumatized childhood
mm-hmm.
with your own kids. Now, some people can step into grandchildren and all of a sudden they're much better
mm-hmm.
emotionally connecting and giving time playfully with grandkids. But it's very hard with our own children if that hasn't been our experience.
Or maybe you can be in the thing of you're going to be having a fantastic week. And someone makes one bad comment mm-hmm. and the whole thing mm-hmm. is now ruined. Because in the thing somewhere in there, we were never taught how to process criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can only have good feedback. If I get bad feedback because of all the associations that we have with it, it's this thing of not being set up properly.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't do that to me.
Yeah, we really look at it as the cracks are showing in me, the mm-hmm. defects are showing in me, or there's things missing in me, when reality of it is, that is part of life. We're not going to know everything. We're not going to be able to play in all these different lanes. Most mm-hmm. of us have one or two lanes that we kind of stay within, and those are our strong suits, and take us out of those and put us in something else. And we're going to feel inferior. Uh-huh. Something's wrong with me. Something's missing. I'm uncomfortable.
It's almost like a little kid piloting an adult body.
Yes.
Like a mech suit thing, if you can picture that. Like this like person inside of this giant robot. But if you actually go inside, you're like, oh, there's this itty bitty mm-hmm. thing inside of it trying to make something happen. And I think that there, for a lot of us, there is nothing scarier than having that exposed. In the mm-hmm. same way that we don't want anybody to look underneath. Please don't look mm-hmm. in that area. Please don't dig me up so you can see what's inside.
Yeah. And I mean, as unfortunate maybe it is to say, if we're being honest, when you get right down to it, mm-hmm. many of us just don't like who we are because yeah. we're looking, all we see are the cracks or the mm-hmm. one thing I didn't do right when I did 99 things right.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes from an unhealthy mindset of who we are in life. We haven't been set up correctly of saying you're going to have challenges. No one is going to be perfect. You did your best. When you feel defective, your best is not good enough because you still feel defective or something is still missing. They're not mm-hmm. accepting me, or they didn't go to me for the advice, right? Or I was passed over for a promotion. How could I be here this long and someone else got it? What is missing in me?
Mm-hmm.
And we begin looking at life very subjectively through that wounded lens. And that's all in our foundation. So if you wonder how the rest of us is going to operate as we go through all this, remember this podcast, because the foundation sets the tone.
Mm-hmm.
So just like last episode, we talked about fake flowers,
yep.
right? Many of us have put on a very cheery facade.
Mm-hmm. Everything's great. Everything's wonderful. We make a great showing of things are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this stems from the faulty foundation underneath it. And we call this a pseudo personality.
Mm-hmm.
And this pseudo helps us survive in the short term. But we don't get to be very authentic with it.
No, we're not able to be authentic because mm-hmm. the whole goal is there's nothing wrong here. There's nothing here to see. Keep moving, which really means that we really are never really known.
Mm-mm.
And even though we know something is off in our emotional foundation, if we're examined closely, some of the house is sagging.
Mm-hmm.
So even though we know it, the whole goal is don't let anybody get close enough to see that,
mm-hmm.
right? So many of us struggle because we've built our lives upon the wrong things. I mean, we promise it's not going to turn into some sermon on how our lack of focusing enough on Jesus has set us up poorly. You know, that could possibly be for another podcast.
Yeah, we're not doing the thing of like, the man built his house upon the sand, and the other man built his house upon the solid rock of Jesus.
It's true.
And it is true, but that's not what this podcast is about here. Different metaphor.
That,
different metaphor.
But beyond that, that is talked about in scriptures, mm-hmm. of when you build it on sand, it's going to be very, very different, because when things come up against it, mm-hmm. erosion can happen, defects can happen, things are missing. And many times, even in a foundation, you will see as years have gone on, there's even actual like missing cinder blocks in a foundation,
yeah.
or you've seen them cracked, mm-hmm. right? And you're like, that is not a good brick for this foundation. Is that in part of a house that's used a lot? And so to understand that our emotions have cracks in them.
Mm-hmm.
They have cracks. And many times those cracks were put upon us.
Mm-hmm.
The people that were entrusted to structure our lives here on earth.
Yeah.
At times perhaps didn't do the best job possible.
Mm-hmm.
And though they may have even tried, like in myself, I've talked about this, you know, I did a much better job than my parents did, but I still missed the mark.
Yeah.
Still cracks in your foundation. Still some things missing that we're still working on filling, and you're growing and I'm still recognizing and all of it.
Yeah. And it's normal for that to be a thing of saying that there mm-hmm. are some issues in a foundation.
Mm-hmm.
But what isn't normal is never dealing with it.
Yeah.
So when you get right down to it, we have to be honest here. Again, we're all about the practical here on this podcast. Some of our foundations downright stink.
They do.
No real way of prettying it up. Some of them are just awful. So we're going to run through a couple different things of what this might look like.
Different bricks.
Different right? bricks inside of us here. We like to go more towards brick, because if you view the whole thing as one gigantic slab, then it's this monolith that there's no possible way of really combating against it. So just think of it inside yourself here of there are different things that I might have built my life upon.
Yeah, there's different bricks that need attention, that need mm-hmm. to be replaced with a healthy brick when we have the unhealthy bricks. But you can't work on everything all at one time.
No.
To remember, it's a journey, not a destination. This will be a lifelong process until Jesus comes or we go home to be with him. So give yourself grace, be tender, but mm-hmm. also be curious of saying, even now as you're listening to this, what brick maybe, might be a brick we mention, might be a brick we don't mention,
mm-hmm.
but you may know and say, this is a brick that I want to work on. This is where I need to learn how to process this brick.
Speaking of doing things, do you ever feel like you're always trying to make up for something? Like you spend your life either proving someone wrong or proving someone right? This could be a brick of performance base.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this constant feeling that you are only good as long as you produce what is wanted or what you feel is wanted by others.
Even if it's not good for you.
Mm-hmm. Even if it is a bad thing for you. So it can even be like a thing of, I remember early on, whenever I would bake something, I had to have people tell me it was good.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, I would hover next to the dessert thing, like probably looking real weird next to it there, like wondering, what are they going to say? What are they not going to say? Is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? Positive criticism only, please. But it is this thing of many of us are only in a good place if it is that. And unfortunately, with performance base, it usually is not a lasting satisfaction. It pours a little bit of water onto a gaping hole, or even, yeah, it's not usually a very lasting thing.
Yeah, it's like there's not, may not be a gaping hole, but like this constant trickle.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what you were trying to, you know, it's like a constant trickle that you just can't shut the faucet off.
Mm-mm.
You have to keep at it. There's never a moment to rest.
Mm-mm.
There's no way of saying, you know what, enough is enough. Even if they aren't happy, I did my best, and my best is good enough. Maybe the other person's expectations are off. Maybe they're expressly using me, right, for all that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm overperforming for their underperforming. And for a long time, I was okay with that. I liked it. I'm needed, and I'm going to do this. But it's gotten old.
Or it can be this thing inside of us. I was top salesperson this month, and then the next month comes, and what month are you talking about? That was last month. What about this month here? This month matters now, and there's been, like, no deposit whatsoever.
I remember in car sales, because I did that for 9 years.
Car sales. We could do a podcast about car sales. Yes, we could. Maybe that'll be the next one. After the house series is done, we'll talk about mom's time in sales. That might reach some people.
Yes. Might speak, I don't know, life or death. I'm not sure.
It'll speak something.
It'll speak something.
Well, that's all we can recommend.
But I remember management, after you've been exhausted, you've just given 30 or 31 days, you're there till 10, 11 o'clock at night, that last night of the month. You've got to get this done. They're trying to have you hit numbers. Everybody's exhausted. They're giving crazy deals. By the way, if you ever want to go buy a car, free tip here. You're welcome. Buy it at the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try and buy a car at the beginning of the month. They will not wheel and deal. But at the end of the month, they will do a lot of things they wouldn't do at the 10th of the month.
The shininess of their eyes might be a little bit scary, but just keep a decent amount of space between the two of you, and you should be fine. Speaking of keep
space...
Wait,
I have to finish that.
Okay.
So basically, what the manager would say is, in that next meeting, the very next day, whoever was top salesperson or whoever, you know, earned the most money or points, whatever, there was always something they were trying to get you to do so you could rise higher. But they would literally tell you, you've gone from a hero to a zero. You start over again. So there was no, thank you very much, great month, we're going to continue this. They literally said, you've gone back to zero. So basically nothing counted.
Nope.
Less than 24 hours ago. You're starting empty again. And what can you do for us? How are you going to make this happen for us?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of month are you going to have that's going to affect us? I mean, that's a lot of how it was. So now you can continue. Go on.
All right. So, again, keeping people away. Some of us have this thing about being around others. Let me ask you this question. Is it easier, or maybe just simpler, to just stay away from other people? Has life shown you that you are better off on your own, that other people are untrustworthy and unsafe?
Can I answer that?
Yes.
For my life.
Mm-hmm.
The answer would be yes, yes, and yes.
I think there's a lot of yeses for a lot of people.
Yes. It would be so much easier. The problem is...
Mm-hmm.
Is that God created us for relationship.
Mm-hmm.
The relationship connectors inside of ourselves, they don't go away.
No.
So we're trying to convince ourselves that we're okay by ourselves, mm-hmm. that we don't want to depend on people. People let you down. People promise, hey, I'm going to be a great friend. Not because of where they are in their life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you the job. Next one's yours. Doesn't happen. And so when you go into that, what happens is you begin to pull away, and you literally end up saying, I'm good being by myself.
I isolate as a default.
I isolate. And some of us isolated within our homes of origin.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else was off, like the person maybe who was shooting hoops, like we talked about earlier, everybody's out. Even the females are out cheering them on. Oh, it was a great game. Where are you? You're inside perhaps playing your instrument, or you're over in a corner reading.
Mm-hmm.
Missing out on the connection, almost like looking out the window and saying, man, I wish I was out there, but I don't belong out there. I don't fit in out there.
Yeah.
I'm just going to stay here. And we convince ourselves that we're just a loner. We really don't need people.
Nope.
We enjoy our own company.
Mm-hmm. There's a lovely thing from... They do a musical version of Scrooge every year at the high school where I teach. And there's a song that, it's an adaptation of Christmas Carol, and it's a song where he sings, I hate people. It's just this whole song about it, and just like, he just gets along better when he's not in relationship with anybody.
And if you look back even at Scrooge's life, when mm-hmm. they take it back to the Ghost of Christmas Past and yep. going back and seeing what his childhood was like, he spent a lot of time by himself. There was no connection. Other people going home for Christmas with their families. He's left there.
Yeah.
And it just that's just how it starts. And we convince ourselves that that's how we really choose to be. Mm-hmm. Let's go with this one. Do you have a hard time feeling safe?
Ooh.
Do new people in situations feel like danger zones to
Yikes.
You?
Yikes.
Yep. Do you feel that your position is unsafe or unsure?
Hmm.
Your job could call today and tell you you've been fired, even though you were declared employee of the month last week. It can happen, right? We decided maybe you're making the most money and we're making cuts. And yes, you've been the most successful, but you got to go because you have the heavy salary. Mm. So even in situations like that, you're always like living on the edge. Did you grow up around people with short fuses and big tempers?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That brick is fear.
Yes.
I don't feel safe. What's going to happen? I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. I can't control other people. I can only control myself. And I've got the missing pieces and the cracks. And it's not good.
And it is easy to write this one off as I'm just a very careful and cautious person. Yes. And that is important. It is important to be careful and cautious in situations. Because if not, you're the brash person rushing into everything without really thinking too much. If any of you saw, we got to do a whole podcast on that one movie, Inside Out, but
we do. That was a really good movie.
There's a personality type in there of literal fear of mm-hmm. it's inside of us, and it's not necessarily a horrific thing, but if fear is always guiding us, it is at the center of all of our decisions mm-hmm. and what we do. It moves from I'm cautious to I have become caution.
Mm-hmm.
Everything immediately when we get into something is, what's my exit strategy?
Exactly. You're always surveying the land.
Mm-hmm. What do I do if this goes bad? Where should I go? Where should I not go? All these things here.
We've got a couple more here before mm-hmm. we wrap this up today. Yeah. I just want to go. It's so going. Good. I know it's going so quickly. So maybe you aren't good, or how good are you at saying no or yes without the input of someone else?
Oh, that was a bad area for me growing up.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because you wanted to please, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if I don't please, then mom withdraws, and it's not pretty, or she's angry mm-hmm. rather. So yeah. And so you really don't know what your thoughts are. You don't even think you want to know what your thoughts are mm-hmm. because the important thing is I have to figure out what her thoughts are,
mm-hmm.
what her wishes are.
Mm-hmm.
And I make it all about my mom, or it could be a wife or a husband, a lot of different things.
Friend groups especially.
Friend groups,
a lot of us learn, and this is called people pleasing.
Yes.
We learn my way of easily blending into a situation, into a social group, is to be the one that fills the needs.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, could someone volunteer to bring this? I got you. I'm there. Mm-hmm. What can I do? How can I help out?
Mm-hmm.
And this one is, I use the word insidious,
mm-hmm.
which sounds very dramatic. But the reason we say insidious is it can kind of disguise itself as us just being very observant and conscientious of the needs of others.
And maybe even caring, mm-hmm. you know, I'm a caring person.
Or it is a literal fruit of the spirit, the fruit of charity. We've got mm-hmm. that inside of us. So, you know, I love to sow into others, to help out, and that's beautiful. The thing to ask yourself in this, if I didn't want to do this, could that be an option?
Or if I didn't want to do it, and I mm-hmm. even let that thought come in, would perhaps fear?
Am I a bad person?
Another brick, right? We've already discussed how the bricks kind of can like spin off of each other.
Synergize and make awful yep. combinations. A lot of these just love to.
Yeah, people mm-hmm. pleasing is the only reason I'm invited, or the only reason I'm part of this, is because it's all about everybody else.
Yep.
and I don't want to cause any waves. I don't want to cause any problems.
Mm-hmm.
And what that really means is that you literally have not developed your own sense of self,
mm-mm.
even your own sense of right and wrong, your own sense of healthy,
mm-hmm.
your own sense of saying, these are what I, this is, these are my likes. Mm-hmm. And many times you only go get to do your likes when no one else is around.
Mm-hmm.
And we live in isolation, really, even though we're with people, we live in emotional isolation.
Or there's the fear of, if I don't perform, I'm going to be isolated.
Right? So you see how all these, we've just talked about mm-hmm. performance, fear, isolation, people pleasing, and we could list off a ton of bricks.
Oh, yeah.
For days and days and days. Back in the days of yore, you want to talk about that?
Okay, so back in the days of yore, there was this thing called a cornerstone.
Mm-hmm.
So cornerstones were the first stone that was considered when you were in the building process. It was like laid down in a very, very specific way, and it was a very critical point of architecture.
Everything was built off of that.
Literally everything was built off of it. I remember there was this fantastic series I read called Pillars of the Earth. It is about the making of a fictional cathedral back in the 1300s. Really, really interesting book called by this guy named Ken Follett. Long book, but very good book. Anyway, in there, there is a scene where they are laying down the bricks. They're finding out like where north is, because they have to know exactly how the light is going to shine through the windows and everything with it. A priest is literally there. Their heavy ceremony is involved in it, and everything was built off of that. Modern construction doesn't so much use things like cornerstones.
References to cornerstones.
Yeah, there's references to it. It's like the thing of like, where is the first wall?
Yeah, where's the first wall? How's it going to fit
mm-hmm.
on the land? There's a survey. A survey is done.
Mm-hmm.
These are the building lines. This is where it needs to go. So a lot of forethought is put into before that first brick or before they begin pouring the concrete for the foundation. A lot of thought is put into that. And mm-hmm. for a lot of us, the cornerstone brick, and we're going to talk about this brick and then we're going to end today's podcast. But this brick and everything that we've talked about, fear, isolation, performance, people pleasing, the brick that doesn't necessarily sound that bad
mm-hmm.
is the brick of rejection.
Rejection. And I believe we just had a famous author on a little while ago who we did a whole thing on that, but rejection, again, sounds mm-hmm. so minor. It's mm-hmm. such a vanilla pudding
mm-hmm.
of a wound.
Well, if you that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, it
right?
sounds like this thing of like, I was rejected. Woe is me. Do-do-do.
But. Rejection is a major cornerstone brick mm-hmm. in our foundation, and it starts early, and it can start even be a very subtle
mm-hmm.
but the message that it sends, it could even be whenever we go out to dinner, I never get to pick where we go. Someone else always does. I give my suggestion and people, we don't go there.
Nope, we ignore.
So something even as minor as that, the message basically says is that I'm not important. Mm-hmm. I don't matter. My decisions don't matter. My wants don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And that leaves you feeling incredibly rejected.
Yeah.
It can also be that you were rejected as a child,
mm-hmm.
that maybe your parents connected with someone else in the home more than they did you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're rejected if you don't please them. Maybe you're rejected if the performance-driven list, if you have a parent who's got, here's the checklist, get it all done. You get it all done. Basically, you start again zero the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I want to say anything to you? That's just being responsible.
Or maybe there's a thing in us there of, it wasn't overt, do this or get out, but it was the subtle rejection,
mm-hmm.
the indirect things of, no one ever told me I wasn't wanted. But my little self living there felt like...
invisible.
I was invisible, or I could be let go at any moment.
Mm-hmm, for
if
sure.
If something happened, I was going to be the first thing to go. No one ever says it, but it's there. And again, rejection, why we say it is the cornerstone, is it can skew...
it can skew the whole
entire
thing.
Yeah, the whole length of life.
Yeah.
It is crazy.
It is. And we begin then self-rejecting. Mm-hmm. When we've been rejected enough, we begin self-rejecting. And we tell our own selves, we don't have any worth.
Mm-mm.
Don't reach for anything. You're kind of like a low capacity person. Just fly underneath the radar, then you can never be rejected.
Yeah. We isolate so we never have to be rejected.
We don't apply for jobs
mm-hmm.
that we know we're qualified for and we could fear
the rejection.
But they're only going to hire one person and there's four applicants and we know they're not going to pick me.
Might as well not even bother putting it
Might
in.
Might as well not even bother putting that application.
If you really think about it, I was actually pragmatic and smart to reject myself before I even got into it. So, as we are coming towards the end here, we want to just talk briefly about the foundation. So, how do we start going after the foundation?
The biggest encouragement I can give you is that you can look at, maybe you'll say, all these bricks are me, right? Well, we're not going to be able to, I don't even want to say fix, it's replace of saying, what really did God put inside of me?
Mm-hmm.
How did he create me?
Mm-hmm.
What special qualities do I have that I have rejected, that I've kept from other people because I'm isolated, that I've never given my opinion on? So there's so many things that he has put inside of us where we're all uniquely created. There's mm-hmm. one of us, which means we have great value.
Which means it's worth taking a look.
It means we're worth taking a look,
yes.
right? Even to say I'm looking at it for me, not for other people, not to make other people happy, but what am I missing out on? How has this one brick affected my whole life?
Mm-hmm.
How has it kept me stuck, right? How is that arrested development? What happened to me early on? Mm-hmm. So many people do not want to go back because they feel like that, I don't want to get stuck back there.
Or what am I going to find?
But the reality of it is it in some areas of your life, you already are stuck back
yeah.
there. You have a choice of whether or not you can say to yourself, I'm going to invite myself mm-hmm. into this process. And I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. to come gently in this process with me. To hold me, to care for me, to speak mm-hmm. truth in me. To, if I'm emotional, to let me know that I matter, that I'm not alone, that I'm not defective, I'm not dirty, I'm not damaged, right?
Mm-hmm.
I live in a broken world,
yeah.
and I lived in a broken home. No matter how much we want to say home was perfect, it wasn't. So one of the best things that you can do for yourself as an adult and begin that maturing process so we grow up is to be able to say, Lord, show me one brick.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you might take the easiest brick. I'm going to start working on this.
Yeah.
And what am I going to replace it with?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I matter. I have value. For the biggest brick would be rejection, right? I have mm-hmm. value. I matter. God says I have value.
Mm-hmm.
And to allow that really to sink in and say, do I treat myself as though I have value? Do I tolerate from other people because I'm afraid of being isolated? Do I tolerate poor treatment of myself, right? Do I stand up for what is right even if people walk away? I'm more concerned with the character inside myself, and I'm more concerned with how God views me, and I'm more concerned about being the person that he's created me to be than I am to say I have this huge friend base. I never talk about that person, even though everybody's like, what is going on? Oh, we don't say anything because
mm-hmm.
they're that person, or they're this boss, they're this pastor. Oh, we just keep it all very, oh no, they walk on water.
The lovely movie Encanto, we don't talk about Bruno. Get into that.
Yes.
So.
Yes. So those are the
mm-hmm.
things. It's the replacement of the faulty bricks.
Mm-hmm. Another area is just the thing of so many of us I remember you talked about there was a lady you ran into who said, I can't let myself cry because if I cry, I don't think I'll ever stop.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of us, again, view the raising, the looking at our foundation as this humongous task. If you know anything about construction,
mm-hmm.
you know that raising a foundation is a huge production.
And it's something that's done with care.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is a multi-person job. There's, like, so many people doing it, but it is a regular part of home maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
That a person says, I want this home to be around for a long time. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a building that we're going to have here.
We've ignored it for as long as we can.
Mm-hmm.
The maintenance of saying it's sinking. We've got to do something. We've got to mud jack it up. We've got to
mm-hmm.
do what we have to do. What's going underneath? Why is this happening? Because you want different.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've already seen the handwriting on the wall of what's going to be happening. And the structure of your home will begin to even break down even more.
Yeah, walls start cracking.
Cracking, the roof starts sagging. The supports mm-hmm. on there now are also starting to buckle because the foundation isn't there. It's not holding it up anymore. And that's really how we are emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
God really says, allow me to renovate you.
Mm-hmm.
Allow me to restore you. Allow me to be the father that you need.
Yeah.
To love you, to care for you. You can say anything to me and I'm not going to reject you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about pleasing me. I want a relationship with you. I miss you when you're not there talking with mm-hmm. me or spending time in my word and learning my instructions for you or just crying to me in sadness or pleading with me for a certain thing in your life. Please don't isolate from me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not looking for you to perform for me. I'm not looking for you to perform for me. I'm not looking for your check boxes. The condition of your heart.
I want to raise you up.
I want to raise you up.
In the same yes. way so many of us view it as a thing of, I'm going to be hurt in this process. If we learn to look at it through the lens of God wants us to rise to something better,
mm-hmm.
then it will actually be better. A famous example I can think of in this here of just it can be done is the city of Chicago had this humongous flooding problem because Chicago is built near a very swampy area. It's been so controlled now that we don't see much of it, but in the 1800s, they literally jacked up sections of the city. Central Chicago was literally mm-hmm. like jacked up like 6 feet or more, different parts of it into the air so there could be drainage. So there could mm-hmm. be, they could put an end to cholera outbreaks and other things of just like all this gross inside of it. They had to say, engineers got together and said, okay, this is not working anymore. We need to literally lift ourselves
mm-hmm.
out of where we are.
And they did it sections by sections.
Very slowly, very precisely. Slowly,
precisely, cautiously.
But they did it.
But they did it, right? So if
a whole city can do it,
we certainly can begin
mm-hmm.
asking God, show me the brick. Or I might know a lot of bricks. I don't know which one to pick. I believe the Holy Spirit will show you.
Mm-hmm.
And when he does, say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be okay.
Yeah.
I want more of what you have for me in my life.
Yeah.
And that is the important thing to remember, that he talks about a firm foundation in mm-hmm. scriptures, like the foundation of the world, all the things. And he is our sure foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hope that you've been encouraged by this as we've talked our way through all this and how to replace mm-hmm. the bricks and what some of the bricks might be. We really do care about our audience. I hope that you feel that. And until next time, renovators.
See you later.